You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Kurt Owen. Welcome back to Victory is Assured. Again, we've been talking about something that is so foundational and so important, and it's something I did without for so many years that affected really every area of my life because I did not know and believe the love of God. Let's just touch on the scripture before we get back into where we were. We're in 1 John, and we're in chapter 4, and this is what it says. It says that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So John again makes the distinction about knowing and believing the love that God has for us. You have to do both. You have to not just know about the love of God, but you have to believe the love of God. It has to begin to affect you. And so we've talked about different ways, about people that, how it would affect your false doctrine. It would cause you, if you didn't believe the love of God, that you could buy into false doctrine. You could get into, and we're looking at this now, this adversarial relationship with God. And listen, I hear a lot of people praying, and they scream and they shout, God, you got to help me. I beg you, God. God, I beg you. Because they believe it's an adversarial relationship. They believe that somehow God is not the author of the solution to the problem, that God is actually part of the problem. And so they have to yell, bawl, squall, miss meals, fasting, miss meals, fasting, in order to get God to help them because they believe that somehow he is holding out on them. And this goes back to really where we left off. Here in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan tempts man, it says that you will not surely die. She said, yeah, God has said if we eat it or touch it, we'll die. And the serpent says, you will not surely die, for God knows in the day that you eat, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so what is he saying? He's saying God is withholding from you. God is trying to hold this back from you. That's the reason he's doing this. He doesn't want this for you. And again, let me say this. Why did not anybody look around at the garden and the land of plenty, that everything that God had given him and the love that he had shown them and this fellowship that they had, and say, you want to know what? I don't believe you. I don't believe that God is afraid that I would be like him. And they should have said something else, and let's get into this. Here's the temptation. Let me read it to you again, okay? You will not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So what's the temptation? Hey, don't you want to be like God? Hey, don't you want to know good and evil? Here's the problem with this temptation. He has actually tried to convince them, and does convince them, that they are missing something they actually already have. That you, remember what the temptation is. God doesn't want you to eat of it because the day you do, you will be like God. As though God was afraid of that. Here's the problem with that. They were already like God. Remember what it says when God created man? Let's read it again. He says here, and said when he creates man, he says, so verse 26, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness. In the day you eat of it, you will be like God, and God doesn't want that. Newsflash, they were already like God. They were already in the image of God. They were already like him. And you will know good and evil. Well, let me ask you a question. What is it that they knew? Everything that, you remember what God said, I mean, to the point in Genesis 1, it gets exhaustive. I mean, it almost gets boring by God saying, and God saw, and it was, say it for me, good. And God saw, and it was good. And God saw, and it was good. So when Adam was created, when he looked around, everything he saw was good. Everything. Adam already had the knowledge of good. Everything they saw was good. So again, here's the temptation. Oh, no, no, God's against you, and he doesn't want you to have this because, man, he's holding out because he knows in the day you do this, you will be like him and you will know good and evil. Why did they not say, what do you mean we'll be like God? We are already like God. God loves us. He has already made us in his image and is his likeness. What do you mean we'll know good? We already know good. What was the only thing they were missing in this temptation? Evil. The knowledge of evil. That was the only thing they were missing. But the devil had convinced them that God doesn't want you to have this. You need to do this for yourself. Again, most of the time when people sin, they are trying to provide something for themselves that God does, that God, they don't believe that God loves them enough to provide for them. Let me ask you something. Let's say that God did not want them to have this stuff. Why did they not look around and look at this voluptuous garden? Look at all this goodness. Look at the gold. Smell all those things. Listen to the sounds of the stars. Look at the beauty in the horizon. Why did they not look at that and say, you know, with all the goodness and the love that God has shown me, if God is not giving me something, I probably shouldn't have it. Because if God, it was good, and it would be good for me. He loves me so much, he would have already given it to me. You know, people still do this today. They go around trying to do something to become righteous, to become holy. Well, you got to do this to be righteous. You got to do that to be righteous. And yet the Bible says you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You're trying to get something you already have. People take all these actions trying to get God to love them, and he already does. And they get into this adversarial relationship that when they pray, oh, I need all of y'all to pray. We've got to convince God to help. I understand. You think he's part of the problem. God is not the author of the problem. God is the author of the solution to the problem. God is in love with you. But from the very beginning, Satan got man to buy into this attitude of lack as though God would withhold from you. That God, there would be something that to be desired that God would not want you to have. And it was all a lie. He convinced them they were something, that they needed to be something they already were. Do you know how frustrating life is if you're trying to get a place you already are? You know, I live in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Do you know how frustrating it would be driving around Port St. Lucie if I didn't know I was in Port St. Lucie and I'm sitting there going, when am I ever going to get to Port St. Lucie? Hey, wake up. Wake up. You're there. You're there. Quit trying to get there and settle in. But see, this is part of the problem. Man became convinced, Adam and Eve became convinced that God did not love them enough to provide for something for them. And this was devastating. When they did not know, now, did they know about the love of God? Everything they saw was good. God had given them life. He would come down and meet with them in the cool of the day. Everything they knew was about the goodness of God. They knew it, but they didn't believe it. And when the pressure was applied, they didn't lay hold and say, no, what are you saying? You're acting like God is against me. God is not against me. God is for me. God has given me everything. Everything. I didn't ask for any of this. And he provided it from the day that I came into being. He gave me of himself. He breathed into me the breath of life. He gave me all of this. And this is good. But they allowed themselves, because they didn't stare at how much God loved them, they became convinced to sin. This still happens today. people still, they feel as though I've got to be good in order to get God to help me. I've got to cry. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. God is not going to hear me. And listen, here's a couple things. And I've only got a few minutes left, but if you're having to make deals with God, you don't believe that He loves you. If you've got to get 100 people to pray for you, and that's the only way you're going to believe that God is willing to help you, you don't believe that He loves you. Please understand, your Father is in love with you. And if you were on the backside of the desert and you had no cell reception and you couldn't get anybody else to pray, He would help you simply because He loves you. We're going to get into this. We're going to get into some of the things that people say and people do because they don't believe the love that God has for them. And understand, this is undercutting your faith. How can you have faith in a God that you've got to convince to help? That you've got to plead with to help? Somehow or another, if I just do the right thing, say the right thing, cry long enough, miss enough meals. What about this give? I just got to give enough. No, God is in love with you. You are already like Him. He only desires good for you. That has been His will from the very, very beginning. Do not let the devil convince you that God is part of your problem and that somehow He's holding out on you. God loves you more than you could ever possibly imagine. And you do not have to convince Him to help, because He is more to convince to help and you can. He's trying to convince you to let Him help. We love you here at Curdo and Ministries. Stay tuned, because I want this to be a revelation that changes your life.
Curdo wants you to know that God really loves you. He sent His Son Jesus as a substitute for you. He took on your sins so you would not have to pay the penalty for sin. He also took on your sickness, disease, and injury so that you would not have to suffer from them. In order for you to receive the benefits of this redemptive power, you simply must accept Jesus as your Savior and make Him your Lord. This is an easy and simple thing to do and will have wonderful eternal effects. All you need to do is believe that He is alive and that He loves you. If you want the power of the living God to change your life from the inside out, simply repeat this simple prayer. Jesus, please come into my heart. Please save me. I believe that You are alive and that You love me and that You gave Your life for me. I believe that because I am asking, You are becoming alive in me right now. You are making me a new creation. I give You my old life while I accept Your life. I also make You my Lord. I commit to do what You say, with the understanding that You will never burden me with things that I cannot do, but rather You lovingly teach me step by step. Holy Spirit, please also come into my life and empower me with the very power of God, the way that Jesus said You would. Father, thank You for giving Your Son and making this provision for me, so that now I can actually call You Father. If you have just prayed this prayer, we would like to put a couple of things in your hand so that you will get some help on the path of your new life. Simply email the words, "I have been saved," to connect@curdowen.com. Everybody in this ministry will continue to pray for you. We all love you, and we all want you to have a wonderful, wonderful life in God. Welcome to the family of God.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Danpost,